Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at the declaration of the Apostle John as listed in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So let's read those verses again together. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Now, on the last broadcast, we were exploring the five attributes that John gives to Jesus in these first four verses. Those five attributes are, number one, Jesus is God. Number two, Jesus is the fulfillment of the over 400 Old Testament prophecies that foretold of the coming Messiah. Number three, John literally saw Jesus with his physical eyes. Number four, John literally looked upon Jesus and touched him. And number five, Jesus is the Word of Life. And last time, we were touching on the doctrine of the Trinity, and I want to try to finish that today. In the first few words of this verse, the Apostle John is underscoring the fact that made Christianity different from every other religion and philosophy on the earth, the fact that Jesus Christ is God. That is what John meant when he said in verse 1, what was from the beginning. So John was reaffirming what the church already knew here in this opening verse of his epistle. And so we must be sure that we have a grip on this truth in our day. If you believe John's declaration here, and you accept what John said about Jesus being God in the beginning, or with God in the beginning, then you are forced to believe one of two things. Either Jesus was God Almighty wrapped in human flesh, which is exactly what the doctrine of the Trinity teaches, or else you have to believe that Jesus was some type of lesser God, a sort of demigod who was higher than the angels, but still less than the Father, which is exactly what the heretic Arius taught in the 4th century, and which today is the foundational doctrine of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, as some of you will remember in our journey through Jude, the Christian church wrestled over the issue of the deity of Jesus Christ late in the 3rd century and early in the 4th. A presbyter by the name of Arius began to teach that Jesus was of a similar but different substance, our essence or nature, than the Father. And Arius's false teaching began to spread all through the church, and by the dawn of the 4th century, many of the leaders of the Christian church began to reason within themselves that half a loaf was better than none, and that the issue of Jesus' deity was not really that important anyway, and Jesus being similar to God still had significance, so who really cares? And this is how many people look at truth and doctrine in our day. But on the road to becoming official Christian doctrine, there was a small roadblock, and his name was Athanasius. Athanasius said that the Bible clearly taught that Jesus was God, and that he was of the very same substance with the Father, and that it was not good enough to simply say that Jesus was of a similar but different substance than the Father, because that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, Arius was very tall and handsome and was charismatic, and he possessed great oratory skills and was able to, at one time, to convince every single bishop in the Christian church that Jesus was not deity. Every bishop, that is, except one, Athanasius. Athanasius, on the other hand, was a bit of a klutz and was not articulate and was not particularly good-looking and could not speak nearly as eloquently as Arius could. But Athanasius had one thing on his side that Arius didn't, the Word of God. So every chance he got, Athanasius taught and proclaimed and preached that Jesus was God, that Jesus was Almighty God wrapped in human flesh, and that the Apostle John was right. Jesus was the Word who was with God and who was God and who was made flesh and dwelt among us. At one point, Athanasius was commanded to stop teaching what the Bible said about Jesus, and thank God he ignored that order and continued to boldly and loudly proclaim that Jesus was God. Finally, the leaders of the church had had enough and brought Athanasius before them to explain why he insisted on teaching such a controversial doctrine that was so hard for people to grasp. And Athanasius' answer was simple. He taught what he taught about Jesus because that is exactly what the Bible said was true. And he didn't believe that he or anybody else had the right to teach contrary to divinely revealed scripture. So since they couldn't get Athanasius to budge off the scriptures, the leaders tried to use another approach that is very common in our day. They tried to reason with Athanasius from the standpoint of Christian unity. They told Athanasius that since the overwhelming majority of those in the church at that time believed what Arius was teaching, that Athanasius was just being stubborn. Surely he could see that stubbornness wasn't a Christian virtue. Athanasius agreed that stubbornness was not virtuous, but he countered by saying that teaching contrary to what the inspired word of the living God said wasn't virtuous either, but that by being faithful to what the inspired scripture declared to be true was virtuous, and in fact it was his duty to be faithful to what scripture taught if everyone agreed with it or if nobody agreed with it. Athanasius understood something that we need to understand in our day. Being a Christian, dear friends, is not about feeling better about yourself. No, being a Christian is about being transformed from being lost to being saved by the supernatural miracle of God sovereignly regenerating your old nature that pertained to Adam and replacing it with a new nature that is created in righteousness and true holiness. And one of the main hallmarks of this new birth is a love for and a devotion to the Word of God. We need to be reminded that faithfulness to Scripture is very important, especially in a time when everybody is willing to compromise with what the Bible says or throw sound doctrine to the wind in order to create or preserve what they call unity. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to understand precisely what we are to be in unity about. We need to understand exactly what it is that we're all agreeing with. The Church of Jesus is not simply a spiritual Woodstock where we all hold hands and sway back and forth and sing kumbaya. That isn't unity. That's just being silly and mystical. So without agreement with and adherence to the Holy Scriptures, there is no lasting basis for any real unity at all. So it's not the songs that we sing that bring about unity. It's what we teach, what we believe, what we accept and what we reject. And so I would suggest to all of us that we drop our rebellion and the desire to do things our own way and simply trust in and believe and teach what the Bible actually says. Because human unity that is based on anything other than the divine truth of God is not from the Lord. In fact, it's detrimental to the real plan of God on the earth. For example, when people say that we need to tear down the walls that divide believers, if by that statement they mean the walls that have been built over economics or culture or age or education or race or things like that, then I agree with them because the Bible clearly teaches that we're not to make meat out of one person and fish out of another. We are to love everyone without partiality. But if by that statement they mean that it doesn't matter what a person believes as long as he sincerely believes it, and that we are to open our arms and welcome everybody into the fold regardless of what they believe and teach, then I am absolutely against that. And so is Jesus and Paul and Peter and John, and so is the Bible. Truth is the most prized possession that we have on the earth, and divinely inspired truth is the greatest gift that God ever gave to man. Without that, we have nothing, including any basis at all for unity. It is so easy today for a great crowd to gather and sing songs which make absolutely no demand on our lives and hold hands and close our eyes and be emotionally moved by the moment of it all and then think that we have arrived at some kind of Christian unity. But that's silly and childish and naive to think that when so many things still exist that we must deal with. Genuine Christian unity is real hard work. And it takes much labor, and it takes a sovereign move of God Himself. And it requires forgotten concepts like repentance and forgiveness and of being taught the ways of God. You're not going to sing a song and have genuine revival. You're not going to preach a clever sermon and hire a famous television preacher to come and achieve unity. We must understand that genuine Christian unity is not that you agree with me or that I agree with you. No, no. Unity is when we all work very hard to agree with God. And there is only one single way for any of us to agree with God. And that one single way is for us to know and to learn and to be taught and to love and to obey and to follow and to submit to and to defend the authority of the written word of God. Back in Athanasius' time, great pressure was put on faithful men, just like today, to compromise what the Bible says for the sake of so-called unity. You can hear things spoken like, don't say that, it will make somebody feel bad. Or, don't get into things that make demands on people's lives because somebody might not agree with it and they may become offended and leave angry or hurt. After all, Brother Blair, it really doesn't matter what somebody believes as long as they're sincere. You need to lighten up, Pastor, because we're all God's children, even though we may be on different paths. But those statements and many more like them are patently false. They're lies. Because it absolutely does matter what we believe. Because Christianity teaches that we are saved by what we believe and not by what we do. And so what we believe is important. Because if we believe the wrong thing, if we are led astray, if we are deceived, then we will forever remain lost even though we think we're saved. Teaching and believing contrary to what the Bible actually says is wrong, no matter how many people agree with it. Athanasius forsook Christian unity 1,700 years ago for the sake of Christian purity, and he fought many times all by himself against great odds to bring the church back to her first love and back to the authority of Scripture and back to a strong belief that John's declaration right here in 1 John is true and that Jesus Christ is God. And Athanasius was renounced and rejected and cast off and maligned and lied about. Yet Jesus stood by his side. And because this faithful warrior remained steadfast against unbelievable odds, God used this man to rescue the church from serious error and God's ultimate wrath. And after 42 years of battling over truth and of ignoring pleas for unity at the expense of truth, even from the Roman emperor himself, God's church repented of her backsliding and fully accepted the doctrine of the Trinity and of Christ's deity. And it was Arius, not Athanasius, who was declared to be a heretic. And it was Arius' teaching, not Athanasius's, which was thrown out. And after he refused to repent, it was Arius who was excommunicated, and his teachings were discredited and thrown into the ash bin of history. And Arius' teaching remained totally discredited for nearly 1,600 years, until a wayward Baptist preacher by the name of Charles Taze Russell uncovered them and was deceived by them and began to teach them all over again. And today, the ancient heresy that Arius taught that Jesus was not God and that denies the doctrine of the Trinity is the foundational doctrine of Russell's cult called the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, better known as the Jehovah's Witnesses. And every single person who is deceived by this false teaching has bought into an ancient heresy that was fully examined and rejected and cast out of the Christian church many centuries ago. But because people today do not see the need for sound biblical doctrine, millions of weak and undiscerning people fall victim to those very nice people who come by your house to leave you some literature. So all of us need to thank God for raising up faithful men like Athanasius, who almost single-handedly rescued the church from apostasy centuries before America was even discovered. And we need to thank God for giving us a clear and trustworthy written revelation of truth that we can read and learn and know and follow and defend and obey. And we need to remember this time in history when, but for the efforts of one single man, every church in the world today would believe and teach heresy. So when we are tempted to cast sound doctrine to the wind or compromise the glorious gospel for the sake of so-called unity, we will remember that all this really does matter. So listen to John's declaration here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that Jesus was God. Think about it, ponder it, marvel at it, stand in awe of it, and then believe it and trust it, and then proclaim it from the rooftop, and then defend it against any and all who would try to change it. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.